So could you tell us a little bit more about, I guess, how you went about researching this this project and the five main diet personality types that you did find?
Sure. As we know, most diets focus on restricting foods and introducing exercise as effective tools for weight loss, and they're absolutely right. But what most don't consider is the actual individual dieter. They don't really factor in, you know, the unique variables and personality and things like that that each dieter brings to that weight loss journey. So we understood that while lots of people are motivated to lose weight, they may actually have, well, real the struggle happens when they're trying to transition from starting a diet to actually maintaining the diet. And we were interested as to whether or not there was factors relating to the person that might actually shed some insight as to why people were really struggling. So with that in mind, we did a lot of research around factors we thought were important, and personality was one of them, but also food-related factors such as your eating preferences and habits, as well as how people would deal with emotions, especially criticism, and a whole other bunch of lifestyle factors. So when we looked at those, we found that they varied quite predictably, and what emerged were five main diet or personality types. So we have the survey that people can take, and what we're seeing is, I suppose, we're getting an understanding of what are the more common diet personalities in Australia.
And so can you give us a bit of an overview, I guess, of the five diet personalities that you did find?
Yeah, sure. The most common one, and this is my dominant personality, with perfectionism. It is that, while we're great at monitoring and so we're fantastic at starting diets, we are also very aware of when we fall off the wagon. And that can lead to stress and anxiety, and it's how we deal with that stress and anxiety that derails the diet for the thinker. And we reach for the muffin and we numb out on food, or we reach for a glass of wine, anything to distract us from those negative thoughts. And that's obviously not going to be a brilliant idea for maintaining a diet and what diets recommend. But we would suggest in that instance, put on a pair of running shoes, walk, distance yourself from the negative emotions. And exercise obviously is really good for stress relief in general, but it'll help accelerate weight loss as well. The second most common diet type is the craver. And these two diet types are predominantly women. So for the craver, unfortunately, they don't have to be hungry to want to eat. The smell or sight of one of their particular trigger foods can be enough to sort of instigate an overindulgence or nibbling. And usually it's confectionery items. I mean, it'd be fine if we crave kale or quinoa or something like that. But it's the confectionery items, and that, if we're going to overindulge in items like that, that's going to derail our diet as well. So that's one of the real hurdles for the craver. So what we try to do is, maybe suggest out of sight, out of mind. If you've got them in the house, maybe put them in a jar where you can't see them. Or I suppose one of the other strategies would be to maybe make sure your diet might keep you fuller for longer and hopefully stave off those cravings. The next most common diet type is the socializer. And as that would suggest, these people really enjoy catching up with their friends. Unfortunately, they tend to do these in circumstances where there may be lots of alcohol involved and the best choices around food. So if you really enjoy doing that, you're going to find a lot of diets overly restrictive because they don't tend to encourage you to go out on a big night out with your friends. So if it's important to you, maybe look for a diet that has that flexibility inherent in it, or that you can, bank up indulgences so that you can use them on a night out with your friends. The next one is the foodie. Now, the foodie doesn't have to be, they actually really, really enjoy everything about food. So it's not just cooking. It's, there are farmer markets, and they're up to date in all the food trends and things like that. So a lot of diets can be really, really boring for the foodie. And they don't last very long in them either because they just don't have that variability that they crave. So for them, that's one of the key stumbling blocks. And the last one is the freewheeler. And this is the least common one, but the freewheeler sound like a lot of fun to me. So they're impulsive. They eat, on the run, and maybe when you make decisions or, around food in those circumstances, maybe not always the best choices. If you haven't prepared lunch and you head to work and you head to the food court, there's lots of temptations there. Maybe not all of them are the healthiest options, the ones that is in line with the diet or the weight loss strategy that you're trying to stick to. And they're the five main diet personalities.
And so I did want to jump as well. You mentioned, cravers as being one that perhaps tends to fall as one that most women will have. I was reading as well that women are particularly more likely to, I guess, be the thinkers or cravers compared to men, particularly more likely to being foodies or freewheelers. Do we know why that is?
Well, this is really interesting. What we, as you said, from the snapshot that we've been able to get is just this emergence of the differences between genders. And while women may be more, you know, prone to these negative thoughts, which is characteristics of the thinker, and men may be more impulsive, which is characteristics of the freewheeler. I mean, it's just fascinating that we're seeing these differences, as well as differences across the generations as well. So we see cravers predominantly in the younger generations, and then as we age, we are seeing higher proportions of socializers and foodies. And to me, that is just, you know, fascinating. You know, is it suggesting that as we're getting older, people are more, you know, they put more importance on those social connections? So, and while they're not swapping anything, you know, one personality for another, I mean, they're not necessarily any better than each other. It's really interesting to see how they're potentially changing as we age. We'd need to do so much more research around it, but there's some really interesting insights that are coming from the data that we've collected so far.
Yeah, it sounds absolutely fascinating. One thing that I did see was pretty common across all the groups was that the report found that compliance with the Australian dietary guidelines was generally pretty poor. I think the statistic at the moment is almost 2 in 3 Australian adults are overweight or obese. I guess, you know, using this research, what can be done to improve people's eating habits and diets?
It's a very worrying statistic that so many people are having such struggles with their weight. But what I think what we're seeing with this research is that it's not that people aren't motivated to do the right thing. They know what they need to do. They're just struggling to actually enact it and put those changes into place long term. So what we're hoping with this research, with the diet types research, is that if you understand what your hurdles and barriers are, what your kryptonite is, so to speak, when you next attempt a weight loss strategy, or, you know, even if you just want to overhaul your diet so you're eating healthier, you understand what your issues are. So, for example, if you're a socializer, you need to look for a diet that's more flexible. What we're trying to do is give you the information. You can make a better choice around the diet that will best fit you. And if it fits you better, you're more likely to stick to it. And hopefully then you'll start seeing those long-term successes that we need to see.